Good morning, Grace Chapel.
Good morning.
Yeah, good to see all of you who love the Lord and want the Lord to bless you so you can bless the socks off of others around you. That's how it works. God blesses us so that we can bless others. It's not our blessing. We don't get to keep it. It's not for us. It's for the church. It's for the community. It's for the people of God who he is calling into a relationship with him. While I was the chairman of the World Outreach Committee, the World Outreach is the mission arm of the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. I was chairman of that committee for 6-7 years. And while I was chairing that, one of my jobs was to investigate, to clarify, to look at our missionary candidates who were coming up before us and to try to determine if they had the call of God upon them. Because you see, the call of God is what sustains us. It's what keeps us going. And it's not just missionaries, it's any Christ follower. Because all of you, if you love Jesus, you do have the call of God on your life. So how do you like that? Does that make you feel special? It better. Yeah, it better. You have this special relationship with God that he is calling you into his service, to serve him and to love others in ways that they don't even dream are possible. And so I was always, as the chairman of the committee, trying to make sure that our missionary candidates, by the way, we don't call them missionaries anymore, because in a lot of the areas of the world where we send our people, it's very dangerous to be known as a missionary. That is a dangerous word in many parts of the world today. So now they are our overseas workers. The M word is dangerous to use in many parts of the world today. Do you understand? So now we call them our overseas workers to protect them. That's why at the General Assembly, the national meeting that we have as a denomination once a year, when we get all the missionaries up in front, we tell everyone, please do not take any photos, any pictures. This picture cannot be seen, go online on your Facebook, whatever, Facebook, Instagram, it can't be seen, because if their pictures are there, they are identified as missionaries, they could easily be killed. It's dangerous to be a missionary in many parts of the world today. I know, I ran for my life twice. So I know this, what this means. It's very important. But you are called as God's people. It may not be a mission across the ocean, it could be across the street, to colleagues in your office, people in your stores that you go to, in your gym where you work out. It could be anywhere. God could call you. And through Abraham, we see God's personal call, how he graciously challenges every aspect of our lives by giving us entirely new lives with a radical new purpose. And God's call to Abraham presents him with the opportunity to find his true self, to rely on the ultimate security that comes from trusting God. So I would invite you, please, to stand to your feet as I read out of respect this portion of God's word from Genesis 11 through 12:9. Genesis 11, 27. This is the account of Terah's family line. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran became the father of Lot while his father Terah was still alive. Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans in the land of his birth. Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Iscah. Now Sarai was childless because she was not able to conceive. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram. And together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. From when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years.
Wow!
He died in Haran. Probably 205 years, yes. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, your father's household, to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Just a young guy, 75. He started this journey. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, all the people they had acquired in Haran. They set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Morah at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. And from there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. This is the word of God. You may be seated. So we know that Abram was a very important person in history, to the Jews, to Christians, to Muslims. All consider themselves children of Abraham. Majority of the population of the world look to him as the father of their faith. So how can we understand world civilization if we don't understand this man's story, the story of Abraham? Well, we know before God gave him a new name, his name was Abram. And Abram means father. Abraham means father of many. If we were to make this more contemporary, we could say that Abram means daddy, and Abraham means big daddy. He stood, however, against his family, against his society, against his culture. Because you know, monotheism, the belief in one God, was not taken for granted back then. So back then, Abraham stood alone. He believed in one God only. What made Abraham great was this call of God. And what makes your life special, distinctive, is the call of God on you. The call of God is what makes you a Christian to start with, and it is that which shapes your life distinctively. It's what makes your life a Christian life. This text tells us three things about the call of God. Why three? Because I'm Presbyterian. And we always think in threes. I'm sorry, it goes with the territory. All right? What do we know about the call of God? We know the power of it. We know the radical nature of this call. And we know how we can receive it. So let's look at the power of the call. Chapter 11 of Genesis tells us something amazing, that all human history has come to a dead end. In Genesis 1 through 11 is the story of a spiraling down of the human race. It's becoming more corrupt, more evil, more violent, more oppressive. And there is only one ray of hope in this chapter. One single family tree, which is the family of Seth. And the text tells us in Genesis 4 that he called on the name of the Lord. And whenever we see that expression in Hebrew or in English, he called upon the name of the Lord, that's an expression, it's a Hebrewism for worship. Only the family of Seth understood the priority of worship. Only the family of Seth called on the name of the Lord. In Seth's family alone, the knowledge of the true God was preserved. But as we see, it begins to diminish. It's passed on. Terah was at the end of the line. And Terah, the father of Abraham, Terah means moon. Here is this last family being taken off center, taken off focusing on the one true God. This was a family who knew what it was to worship, and yet this is a family who knew what they were built for. This family who knew everything, who knew anything about God, had gone over into idol worship. In Joshua 24, we read, Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshiped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates." See what happened here? Spiritually, the last candle had flickered out. The last place that anybody knew anything about God, this last family had lost it. Not only spiritually, but physically. Sarah, the wife of Abram, is barren. Not only was this spiritual loss, this was physical loss, because there was not going to be any more family. If Sarah had no children, that was the end. Biblical scholar Brueggemans has noted in his commentary, "The barrenness of Sarah is an effective metaphor for hopelessness. There is no foreseeable future. There is no human power to reinvent a future. The human race and history has just reached a dead end. It's over for the people of God." Or is it? We are being shown here the power of the call. It means two things. It's absolutely necessary, this call, and it's absolutely gracious of how God gives it to his people. Abram was from the best family, the best family on earth, but it wasn't for the call of God, he would be spiritually dead. Now, our children were brought up to know Christ, but they had to respond. They could not live my faith. They could not live their mama's faith. They had to live their own faith, and unless the call of God came upon them personally to disturb them, to convict them, to humble them, to shake them up, they would just be nice little idolaters. Like Abraham, it doesn't make any difference how good your family life is. Everything tends to take something created and worship that. And my children are nice, they're moral, they're maybe even religious, but they will be idolaters if they live for their careers, if they live for their family, if they live for their leisures, unless the call of God comes into their life. Their progress is a result of the call of God. It's not our family. The line of Cain were bad people. The line of Seth, they were good people. But folks, it doesn't matter. You are in spiritual death sleep without the call of God. It is absolutely necessary. It's got to disturb you. It's got to disrupt you. It's got to get you out of yourself so that you can follow him. Do you understand? It's that important as a people. Abram was unqualified. He was not a good guy. He was not a faithful person. The call comes to Abram because he is unqualified. No offense. You are not qualified. Guess what? You're looking at one who is not qualified. But the call of God comes to you. The call of God comes to me. And in that call from him, we are qualified. The call of God is an absolute gift of grace. It doesn't come because you're qualified. You're qualified because it came to you. It qualifies you. When we call a repairman to our house, we take our car to the mechanic who is qualified. We want to see what qualifications they have. We don't let just anybody into our house or try to repair my car. But when God calls you, you are immediately qualified because he has chosen you. You are his chosen one. I don't know if you saw this movie way back in 1964. It was called Beckett. Does that ring a bell to anybody here? Peter O'Toole played the part of Henry II. Richard Burton played the part of Thomas Beckett. And it's based on a true story. Henry and Thomas Beckett were drinking buddies. They were corrupt like anything. Both of them, they were hot-headed. They were living for sensuality. And one day, the Archbishop of Canterbury dies, and so Henry II has a brainstorm, and he says, I'll make Thomas the Archbishop of Canterbury. It will be great. Thomas is just like me. He's a regular guy. He won't tell me how to live my life. He won't tell me not to oppress the poor. He will not tell me that I can't sleep around. This is great. Finally, we have solved the problem of church-state relations. Thomas is made Archbishop of Canterbury, but then something happens. Thomas is shaken, even though it has come through Henry for all the wrong reasons, and although he is completely corrupt, unholy, unworthy, unqualified, he is now the Bishop of England. And he suddenly realizes a sense in his heart of the call of God. He realizes the grace of it. He realizes how unworthy he is of it, and it changes him. Thomas becomes a good person. He becomes a man of integrity. He begins to represent the gospel of Christ and the Word. And he begins to call Henry for the things he is doing wrong. And Henry, King Henry II, is going nuts. His drinking buddy now has turned into an angel. What am I to do? Finally, Henry is filled with all kinds of conflict because he respects Thomas, but now he is so mad with him. Thomas has become a good guy, telling Henry the truth. And one conflicted night, Henry is so upset with what is happening that he cries out to his knights, "Who will rid me of this meddlesome priest?" The four knights go to the cathedral and they murder Thomas Becket in 1170 AD. It really happened. And Becket said at the end, "Poor Henry." Just like Jesus. "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing." The call of God is so powerful that not only do you have to have it because your life is dead end without it, no matter how nice a person you are, the call of God is absolutely mandated. But it will also transform you. No matter how bad a person you are, the power of the call of God, the power makes dead ends alive, barrenness fruitful. It comes, the call, and there is hope again. So there's this radical nature. Okay, it's powerful, but what is this? What is it to do? What is the content of this call? Look at in Genesis 12. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, your father's household, to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." What is this call? It is a personal call. It is personally radical. He says to Abram, "Go from your country." Actually, in the King James, it says, "Get thee out." The Hebrew words, it's not one. Literally, it means go yourself out. Get yourself out. Get yourself out. Why? Because in Genesis 11, we read, "But when they came to Haran, they settled there." Remember, they were going to Canaan, but when they came to Haran, it was so nice, why go any further? They settled in Haran. They weren't going to Canaan now. Terah and the whole group had set out for Canaan, but they stopped there. They didn't want to go any further. They had been called to go, but they stopped in Haran. And that's why God says to Abram, "Get yourself out." Abram's thinking, "I've come halfway. This is as far as Dad and everyone else wants to go. Nahor and all the guys don't want to go any further. They like it here." And then God says, "Then come out. Get out. Come yourself." It's not good enough to be a part of a Christian ethos, to just think to yourself that you've always been in a Christian family and you've joined a church and you've got roots from Scotland if you're Presbyterian background or comfortable being Presbyterian. Or if you're from Italy, then you're Roman Catholic, or you're from Mississippi and you're Baptist, all right? So it's not enough to be a part of the ethos, part of the environment. I feel good about being around Christians. But have you met God yourself? Have you gotten out yourself? Have you encountered him yourself? Has it penetrated to you as an individual? Have you made the personal commitment? The call is radically personal. It's not, none of us get into heaven on anyone's coattails. It has to be your faith. It's also volitionally radical. At the heart of the call of God is the surrender of the will. We read in Genesis 12, "Go from your country, your people, your father's household, to the land I will show you." And God doesn't give specifics. This is terrible, isn't it? It's not conditional. No. You can't go if you have conditions. Get out. Where? I'll show you later. Just get out. Go. I'll give you a son. How? Look at how old I am. God, look at my wife, Sarai. She's barren. How? I'll show you later. Go to the top of the mountain and put your son to death. What? Why? I'll show you later. Christianity is not an adventure. It's a quest. An adventure is going there and coming back again. But a quest comes to you and you evolve. You never really come back from a quest, a journey that has no end. And that's what you're on. It's part of God's forever people, his family, my brothers and sisters. That's what we are all on, this quest that continues. What does it mean to answer the call? It means to get out not knowing where you're going. Yeah, but what if I'm a planner? God's the planner. Follow him. He's got better plans. Believe me. Much better plans. Get out. You'll be radically changed. And don't ask me whether or not this fits into your agenda, because Christianity is a whole new life and a whole new agenda. It's bigger than your agenda or mine. And don't say, how is this going to enrich my life? Because Christianity is a whole life. All of it is. Hebrews 11, by faith, Abram, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. So if you feel like you're not knowing right now where you're supposed to be going, you're in great company. But we know who is leading us, don't we? And he never leads us astray. And he always gives us what we need at the time that we need it, always. If we give conditions to God, we haven't heard the call. The call requires obedience. We cannot say, I will obey if, blah, blah, blah. We have to take our hands off of our lives. It is volitionally radical. We choose. It's also radically missionally. We remember he says, I will make you to a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. So he blesses us to bless others. To become a Christian is to be changed, not making our decisions on the basis of what we want or desire. The call of God reshapes us to be. Where can I most be a blessing? If we seek to be blessed, we'll be empty. If we seek to bless others, we will be blessed by God himself. How can I be a blessing? Get out. Get out of your security zone. Get out of your comfort zone. Get out of the familiar, the safety zones. Well, we don't like this. Why? Because we don't want to risk looking bad, feeling uncomfortable, being misunderstood. And as a result, we don't bless others because we're focusing on ourselves, our wants, our desires. To the degree that you are willing to get out of the safe, the familiar, the comfortable, God will bless you so that you will be a blessing. The call of God is personal, it's volitional, it's missional, and the call of God is culturally radical. You know, the gospel does not give us pat answers. Abraham left but never arrived. His entire life was lived in the huge gap between the promise and reality. It was very uncomfortable. And when the Apostle Paul refers in his writings to living out the Christian life, he does not mention Moses, but Abraham. The Judaizers wanted Greek believers to be culturally Jewish, and the Apostle Paul opposed this. There were Christian Greeks, there were Christian Romans, there were Christian Jews. When Abraham broke from his familiar and cultural ties, he started a revolution. And in the same way Christians break from their original culture, we are Christians first and foremost. We are not Americans first. We plant our feet in the kingdom of God as we walk on this American soil. Our new life is in Christ. It is not necessarily going, but being. It transcends space and time. I am a Christian first and foremost, and so are you. You are secondarily an American. But one day you're going to pass into glory and you're going to see this was nothing compared to what that is going to be. This dimension is wonderful, but that is beyond dreams, beyond expectations. As we go into that dimension, the call of God makes us become cultural pilgrims. We stay where we are living, but represent a king whose rule has no boundaries. This is tough stuff. It's hard work, but it is exciting work. And like Abraham, we depart, but we never arrive entirely in this dimension. Having served the Lord in Africa, on the continent of Africa, and having served him in Europe, in the country of France, where they are overrun by skeptics, critics, atheists, people who do not believe. And yet God used broken people like myself, and less broken people like my sweetheart. He used her a lot more than he used me to connect with our neighbors and with their children when we took our kids to school and create relationships and create intrigue and create opportunities where we could eventually share the gospel, because they asked us why we would come, why we would be there. They all want to come to America. Why would an American want to come to France? Why would they do that? It was a wonderful opportunity that God gave us because of those relationships. But it's hard work. It is exciting, but it's very hard. Tough work. So how do we bring this into our lives right now? How do we surrender like this and make this kind of commitment? And one thing that Abraham understood was this promise to have a son. Because you have to have the son. The son had to be an act of miraculous grace. Abraham had to live with faith in the son. And Isaac points us to the real son. Jesus got out. We know that. Jesus got out. He left his father's throne above. He left his real security. Why? Why did Jesus do that? He did that for us. He went into the abyss so that we could climb the mountain. The Son of Promise is Jesus. And if you can say that you can't handle the call, then you forget that somebody already has handled it for you. He went out for you so that now you can go out for him. He left his securities for you so that now you can leave your lesser securities for him, because he is your ultimate security. When I was dying from malaria in Africa and angry with God, because I had went to that country in Sierra Leone, West Africa, to help the poor and to feed them. I was interested in mission work, and I thought if I could handle the jungles of Africa, I could probably handle anything. And I went there and got malaria, which is the worst case of the flu that you can imagine, times a kabillion. It's awful. And as I was dying and feeling terribly sorry for myself, I raised my hand and said, God, why are you doing this? Why did you allow this to happen to me? I'm trying to do your work. I was a contract teacher with the Sierra Leone government. I was contracted to teach French, Bible, and algebra in the only co-ed high school in the entire country. Up country, we had no electricity or running water. Very primitive. I loved that. But it became very dangerous at times. There was no freedom of speech. I was on a hit list to be killed. Had to run for my life. But here I am in my bed dying from malaria, angry with God, shaking my fist at him. This is not fair. I'm one of your sons. Is this how you treat your kids? Why are you allowing this to happen to me? And when I was quiet, God said two words to me, three words. Doug, you done? Yes, Lord. And then he said to me, my grace is sufficient. That's all he said. My grace is sufficient. And I felt, brothers and sisters, like I had just had a shower of grace pour on me, and it went from my head all the way down to the tips of my toes. And I just felt I was going to be okay. And if I died, I'd be in glory with him. And if I continued to live, I could teach my kids the French, Bible, and algebra. And it would be okay, because I like doing that too. Well, I'm here, so you know the story, how the story ended. God healed me. But more than that, I understand, because his call is on me. And his call is on you. He has chosen you, and he is blessing you so that you can be a blessing to others. Don't keep it. Give it out. Just like Jesus did. Be reflectors of Jesus. Look like a Jesus follower. Look like one who follows the Lord. Look like him. There's a family resemblance here. I see it. I see Jesus here in his family. This is awesome. Be Jesus. Receive his power. Receive his spirit. Receive his grace and give it so he will be honored. And I'm praying that the new pastor that comes to you, he's going to be so blessed by you. He's going to be so glad he came here to help lead you, but you are going to be a blessing to him. Go in Jesus' name and give God all the glory. Let the call of God come into your life. Hear it. Surrender to it. It'll make you like him. It'll make you great. It will qualify you. Go and give him glory. Amen? Amen. Amen.